Großer Fuhrparktausch jetzt im Autozentrum P&A. Der Renault Clio mit Klima, Navi, Einparkhilfe und mehr für nur 11.900 Euro. Auf zum Fuhrparktausch im Autozentrum P&A. Renault für Düsseldorf, Automeile Höherweg und auf deinneuerrenault.de. Der Renault Clio im Autozentrum P&A, auch für nur 99 Euro im Monat.
This is Sports Kings After Dark on SB Nation 1560. Presented by End Zone Sports Bar and State Farm Insurance Houston.
The dance bar. Oh!
There goes the runner. There goes Correa again!
Batted down and intercepted. Intercepted by J.J. Watt. Touchdown, Houston.
Live from the SB Nation 1560 studios, here's Ali, David, Chris, and Mean Gene.
I said the king's in the building. Tell me how you feeling. Yeah, I said the king's in the building.
What is going on, SB Nation Radio 1560? My name is Chris DeMez here at the SB Nation studios in lovely Galleria, Houston, Texas. I'm not here alone. I'm here with the Sports King Super Mario. I still don't have my my list out, Dave. We are here, man. Such a great first hour, you guys. Such
that,
a great first hour.
That went by really quick.
It did go by.
There's a couple
quick,
things yeah. that kind of irritated me though.
What?
The first thing was the rookie of the year thing that always went over my head. Like, I just must have not been paying attention whatsoever to what y'all talking about.
Yeah.
And then I get a text from my pops saying that I said that D. Williams and Luther Head went to Indiana instead of Illinois. And I totally thought I said Illinois. But if I did say Indiana, I'm sorry. And that's very unlike me because that really got to me, man. Like, right. For real. Like,
sorry, Papa Ramon.
I hate getting like false little statements like that, man. Like,
ay, perdóname, papi, yo sabe.
And it happens, right? Did that actually say Indiana? Like, wow.
It's okay.
And then, you know what? It sounds like 2003 wasn't like that long ago, man.
But
like,
it was.
I still think about those plays that you
don't
know, or still
me.
That Final Four. Oh, I man. Like, so. For example, I was watching Carmelo Anthony highlights from Hughes,
the one year he played in Syracuse.
And then, it was beautiful though, right?
Hey.
It was beautiful.
He won the chip
then,
that year, man.
Then I was watching, I saw this highlight from Melo in 09. And you know what? Now, thinking about that roster that he had in 09. They're very capable. You remember that steal that he got and flushed it over? I think they were playing the Jazz. He flushed it over Paul Millsap.
Oh, it was Millsap. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, man. And I think back to that 09 Denver team. Like, man, you think they can, like, run a little bit with the guys now? Because Carmelo back in the day, like, that's not the Carmelo we make fun of now, right?
Carmelo's
like,
still one of the top scorers in the league, though.
And I understand that, but think about how, like, the bad rep that he gets just for shooting mid-range jumpers. Like, sure. That's where we at right now, where we don't like the guys who take the good shots that they're used to. You got to either be a three or we going inside. Like, there's no in-between.
It's the lost art, the mid-range game.
It is. And it's kind of like, it's almost a free throw. So you would think if a free throw comes easy, a mid-range, you know, shouldn't be hard to follow. But we don't have those guys like Rip Hamilton anymore that goes through five screens just to shoot a semi-open mid-range shot.
Allen Houston, man. Anything free thrown down, that was his all day, automatic.
It's like we skimmed away from everyone's, you know, I guess, games and certain attributes that they like about their game and just went away from it, and we only playing styles now.
Yeah.
You feel that a little bit?
Yeah, because there's, like we said before, the NBA is now an offensive league. You know, everything's about scoring points, running and gunning. No one really plays in a half-court set anymore.
Real quick, I just want to shout out Adam Silver, the commish. Came out and said how he has a personal Twitter that he doesn't tweet. But he does like looking to see what everyone else is doing and seeing how the NBA players are, you know, contacting. Well, not contacting, but staying engaged with society, being able to be reachable. I mean, it's so funny how back in the day, you know, we had to wait to read something off a newspaper. We had to wait to the next day in order to get that, you know, that stat maybe. I know I didn't have internet until I don't know how long, maybe in high school. So, like, it wasn't just something you can just go out there and reach like it is now. And now for players to be just right there at our fingertips half the time, that's amazing, right?
Agreed. Man. Completely agreed. But talking about things in local, how about them Astros, man?
Yo, and you know what the thing that gets me with them? See, I feel like I've been like that old man on the porch that yells at everyone because I'm just upset.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
Yeah, I'm just upset with everything because we look at the All-Star balloting updates and we have no Houston Astro as of right now in first place. But it's still some time. You know, first off, I see Jose Altuve in second place to, was it Starlin Castro from the Yankees? Do you feel that? Like I still give it to Jose Altuve first, you know, right?
Yeah, I think he's.
But this is just fans, you know.
Yeah,
fans
this too. Is just fans basing. That's true.
So there are like a million people, millions of people in New York that just you know keep that going. So they're gonna vote, but I think you know the Astros need to go. Houstonians need to go out there and vote, right? Because I think I voted like 3 or 4 times already.
You have to vote. You have to vote. Check this out, man. The Houston Astros are 13 games ahead of the Los Angeles Angels. 13 games approaching the All-Star game. 13 games, all right? We're ahead of everybody else. I mean, look, we're ahead of the Rangers 14 games, who we also beat today, by the way. Who were we also talking about last week saying that whenever the Astros seem to be hot and they go play against these Rangers, they always seem to lose momentum.
Oh,
but
man.
If anyone's been watching the last two games, these Astros offense has been a juggernaut, man.
Hey, they've been laying the bat out, but as well the pitching's been there. But we saw the Rangers kind of get to them at the end, though.
Yeah.
We saw them, you know, come in, what inning was it? You know, the fifth inning. They got 3 runs and kind of made it a close game.
That bullpen got beat up pretty much.
But it was good to see that, you know, that the Astros have a little attitude and swagger with them, right? Like, whenever they play the Rangers, you see something else come out of them.
Oh, yeah.
Because they understand the rivalry. They understand, you know, they're the closest team to us, so we got to talk a little extra mess. We got to get under him. Like, I saw Lance McCullers, after striking someone out, just go fed on somebody. Mm-hmm. Like, he was in it to mm-hmm. win it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we don't see. You know, we see, like, the nice, respectful Astros that, you know, they just take care of business and get the dubs and stuff. But I like seeing these Astros, the feisty Astros, man. Like, it's a surprising team when they play like that.
They're playing with what you Southerners call grit. They are playing with some real grit. They are biting down on their mouthpieces. And they are playing. You know, I mean, Carrera yesterday hit a 3-run jack.
Oh, man.
You know, I mean, you know what it is about this team? It's like they get on base. That's the one thing. But no one tries to overdo it. They're never trying to swing for more than what they need. You know, and that's why they generate so many runs to me is because every man up there is not looking to hit a home run. Everyone's up there trying to find a single. And when you just look for those small hits, you bring in runs.
But you know what? This became the one team that you cannot throw fastballs against.
No.
Because that's what we look for.
Oh, yeah.
And if you do throw a fastball, we're going to have to knock it out the park. And that became, you know, that, you know, the common thing now. But do you feel like we can just not have to rely on one person? Of course, back in the day, we definitely had our favorites that we wanted to see get on base. And if they didn't get on base, those would be tougher for us to score. But as of right now, if you look at this whole lineup, for example, let's look at today's lineup. Springer, Reddick, Altuve, Correa, Beltran, Marlon Gonzalez is possibly having, you know, career numbers
career
right
numbers.
Now.
Career numbers. He is having a
McCann,
career number season.
And, you know, and that's another thing, too. McCann at the catcher position has been really laying it out, too. And it seems like everyone can hit, man. Like, we don't have to just rely on one person.
No.
Everyone does work. Everyone contributes. And also, if someone doesn't have a, you know, someone's going through a slump, everyone else can pick each other up.
It's a solid lineup, 1-9, you know. We just won our 9th in a row. You know, we're leading the league with 40 wins, 16 losses, you know, and then I'm looking, and then you look at the scores at which they're beating people. Other than today winning 6-5, yesterday was 7-1, before that 17-6, 7-2, 16-8, 8-4. I mean, we're winning by convincing numbers. This is not 1-1 wins, you know.
Oh, man, and you know what? You remember back, I'm going to keep on saying back in the day. But, you know, 90s, 2000s, we used to see the games 3-1, final score, 2-1, 1-0, final scores. We don't see that anymore, man. And you know what? And it's a good thing for baseball as well, because I feel baseball has its troubles at time whenever they can get a lot of people in the stadium.
Mm-hmm.
Especially as of right now, I mm-hmm. feel that a lot of people are, you know, definitely jumping on the bandwagon, which is fine. Mm-hmm. I mean, a lot of people don't pay for, you know, tickets during the year whenever we're doing bad. But, you know, when they're doing good, they got to make their money. Yep. That's fine.
That's a good question, Dave. And this is to you, Mario, as well. Mm-hmm. You guys are avid sports watchers, baseball, football, basketball. How do you feel about those fans that come on just when the teams are just about to win or they're, like, taking home and stuff like that?
But this is the thing I understand about that, Chris. I got to understand that not everybody else is like us. Mm-hmm. Like, I totally understand that we all have things to do. All got 9 to 5.
We all watch WWE.
We all watch WWE.
Woo!
We all get down. So, like, I understand that aspect. And that's what I heavily think it is, that people don't invest their time, especially right now. Think about the age we live in. Think about what it takes for you to go to a game.
Are you just going to go to everywhere? A game? It's on your phone.
Yeah, exactly. There's so many means to watch anything or have access to that information now. Is that there's almost virtually no need to be there if you really look at it. And I understand that some people live and die by this, and they're going to go. They're going to support. Their butt's going to be in that seat, mm-hmm. you know, at the first pitch. And that's fine. That's fine if you're one of those
hardcore.
People. Yeah, and you know it's cool. I get it. But not everyone's like you. Not everyone has this, you know, that amount of time maybe. You know, because I get dumbfounded sometimes when I'm just chilling and it's like 1 o'clock and there's an Astro game going on. Like, sometimes I just forget. Like, I clearly zone out that there can be a possibly big game before 5 o'clock.
Now, you hear me yelling at 5 o'clock because I have to go through downtown Houston, especially by Minute Maid Park, and I got to go through that traffic. So you hear me yelling at my window, you know, you hear me yelling at my window.
But you know what? So, like, I don't have a problem with that. It's because I realize that everyone else is doing so much other stuff. Like, yep. Sometimes I feel bad whenever I can't make it to certain functions and certain events that I want to go to. But if I can see it another way,
yeah.
I mean, I'm going to still show my support and watch it in another way instead of being there.
It's so funny you say that because talking about bandwagon fans, growing up in New York, you have a lot of people that aren't from New York.
Oh,
you
yeah.
know, you talk to a lot of people like, where you from? Oh, I'm from Kansas. Oh, where you from? I'm from Chicago. Where you from? I'm from here. But one thing they all have in common is you live in the city long enough, everybody becomes a Yankee fan.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody talks Yankees. But it seems like since I'm going to talk about my Yankees, you talk about bandwagons when I come back because I'm definitely going to talk about me being a bandwagon fan for the Rockets this season.
And you know what? Just like I said, that's fine.
Yeah. So we'll talk about bandwagon fans. You're listening to 1560 SB Nation Radio, Sports Kings After Dark. Check us out, man.
This is Sports Kings After Dark on SB Nation 1560.
And on SBNation1560.com.
Presented by Endzone Sports Bar. Live from the SB Nation 1560 studios, here's Ali, David, Chris, and Mean Gene.
How's it going, Houston?
What's We're going back. On, Houston, baby?
We're back. And Dusty Rose is
we
back.
We are here in SB Nation Studios, 1560 AM. In Galleria in beautiful Houston, Texas, baby. Mario, Super Mario is what they call you, I hear.
That's what I've been called, Dusty.
What you got to listen to, man?
Man, this is Haters by Jay-Z and Kanye, man.
I like it. I like it a lot. Hey, you know what? I'm going to keep listening to you guys. I'm going to keep listening to you guys up in heaven. Dusty Rose is out, baby.
Yo, so it's amazing how he's just able to enter the building and leave the building.
Hey, that's Dusty Rose, man. He does it.
That's the American dream, man.
He's the only one that can. Mm, so, going back to our conversation.
WWE, don't sue me.
We're talking about bandwagon fans. And we're talking about Astro bandwagon fans, you know, mostly. And you know what? Just like I said, it's okay. But we also have to talk about, you know, why there's bandwagon fans. Because of the things that we went through. It wasn't all the time that we had this glorious team that is bats this way and it's on top of all the stats and everything. So we got to think about, you know, prior to, oh, what was it 2013, 12, 11, you know, when we had, Hunter Pence and Michael Bourne were probably like, you know, two guys that we had that were pretty good, but we'll let them go. So we're going through a time of tough days, man.
Double-digit losses for the season, man. I mean.
Yeah, so, I mean, we totally understand why people kind of stop paying attention, but also, you know, we recognize what was really going on underneath. I mean, you think about the farm system that you were talking about last week. Mm-hmm. That's so important to us now that we are able to develop these guys. But it's also all a process, man, because, for example, baseball, it's like chess. Like, you, the way that baseball has been able to change, if, you know, we all seen Moneyball, we've seen these, you know, different things, and the way this is being implemented to all sports. Because this is not just a baseball thing. I mean, we see it in basketball. I don't really think it'll probably affect football the way it does everybody else, but I definitely see them using numbers in a different way now.
Yeah.
So the way baseball has led and led us to a team like this, I mean, it's pretty surprising for some Estonians that weren't even paying attention to baseball. For example, if you weren't a Houston Astros fan, you wouldn't have probably known that they're doing so well.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, totally understandable the reasoning why there's so many or why they are. But, I mean, so talk about New York. So, when that, you know, we get all these people in Houston now because, honestly, we're a really culture city. We get so many people coming in. Real estate and land is changing by the second. But, you know, New York as well takes that too. So, you know, when I went to Harlem, it wasn't like the Harlem that I thought I was going to see. There was a lot of gentrification, you know, a lot of, you know, mixed people, which is fine, you know, but it wasn't what I was expecting to see. So tell me about when people go to New York and what happens.
It's different. Like I said, bandwagon fans for us is different because being from a city that there's so many people, you always get people that are always wind up becoming Yankee fans, you know. Or you even have people who aren't even Yankee fans, but yet they know the team. You know what I mean? They know the starting lineup. They know who they're playing next. But that's because the culture is so rich. You know, that baseball culture is so thick and rich and old.
Oh, yeah. And you know what? You kind of put those franchises with the historic franchises, just like the Lakers, the Celtics. And then with baseball not having a salary cap and just kind of money just be thrown around everywhere. I mean, you kind of have a little room to make a little bit more money if you're spending that money, right? If you're spending money on the talent. So it's definitely interesting to see baseball in that way, right? Like, we don't get to really see that anymore because whenever we go, you know, to any sports media outlet, baseball's not going to be the first thing that comes right off the bat.
True.
We're going to see the big, you know, especially when it's during football season, that's always going to run it. Basketball is a right now just because of what's going on. That's taking its toll as of right now. But whenever we start getting into October, now that's going to be a sweet time to see. For example,
October.
For example, I start paying attention to hockey during playoffs.
That's right.
Like, you know, like, I'm not going to sit here and lie to y'all that, you know, that I've watched hockey and I have my favorite players and favorite teams. I definitely love seeing what I see, though, on the ice, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's something that we don't get to see a lot. We get to see hitting, there's people being physical all the time. And, you know, it's not that changed culture that we've been seeing in other sports.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and I understand it for football. I understand it for, you know, basketball. We're trying to, you know, clean it up a little bit so nobody gets hurt and everything. But, man, I feel that switches like that still take away the essence of some things we used to love about the sport, right?
Of course. Like, baseball fans, to me, are some of the most loyal fans they are.
Oh, yeah.
You have generations of fans.
They follow the rules.
That's right. My daddy was a Yankee fan. My grandfather was a Yankee fan. My great-grandfather was a Yankee fan. And I'm never going to be nothing else but a Yankee fan. And then you have other guys that, you know, they're fans of the sport, not fans of the team.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so some guys that, you know, they love baseball. They love baseball to watch it for their home run. They love to watch baseball, you know, playoff baseball, because the close games, you know, the 9 innings, the 10 innings, they want to see it. You know, so being a bandwagon fan to me is just... I don't think it's such a bad thing as it used to be. I think back in the day more, it was like, you have to pick a team. How dare you be somebody else?
Oh, yeah.
You know, how are you from New York, but you're a Boston fan? How dare you? You know, how are you from Texas and you're a Louisiana fan? How dare you?
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's different. Now you have so much mixture and so many people moving everywhere, especially, like you're saying, being from New York City, coming from the number one diverse city, then coming to the number third diverse city. You know, it really doesn't change. You have a lot of fans here, especially here in Houston, especially for, like, you got a lot of, like I said, there's a lot of fans that are Dallas fans.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? They're just diehard Dallas fans, but they were born and raised here in the H.
We don't recognize those people.
You know, but they're fans like that, you know? So I don't think bandwagon fan now is so much of a term, especially when you come from a city so rich in sports history such as this. But also to go back to the Astros, why wouldn't you want to be a bandwagon fan? Why wouldn't you want to be a bandwagon fan? Look at these stats.
Because my heart get hurt.
I understand your heart get hurt, but let me tell you something, Astros fans. this team, man, this is something special, man. Look at this. They have 299 runs, which is first in the league. Their batting average is .276, which is second in the league. Their on-base percentage is .345, which is third in the league. Their slugging percentage is .466. They're second in the league. I mean, if this is not a time to become a bandwagon fan, I don't know when is. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. Like, am I on the bandwagon? I wouldn't say I'm on it, but I'm walking right by it.
You acknowledge it.
Yeah, I'm acknowledging it because, you know, we play in the same league. Oh, yeah. You know what I mean? My Yankees are still there. You know, that's always going to be my team, but let's be realistic. You know, not going to go anywhere this year. So, you know, might as well hitch bets with somebody else. And right now, man, these Astros are just something special. 1-9, that is a solid lineup any way you want it, man. Going from the 9th Aoki, going to the 1st who's Springer. You know, these guys, all they do is generate hits. They get on base, first of all. And second, they go deep into counts. You know what I mean? They're well-disciplined at the plate. You know, they take those. They'll go from 0-2 to 3-2.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and they work pitchers. They work pitchers. And that's what happened to Yu Darvish the other night.
They're definitely not scared to look a pitch away.
No.
They have the patience to look for a good pitch, mm-hmm. but also the eye to just not have a favorable one. And, yeah, you get those ones where you see it on TV, and they go straight down the line. And you're just like, why didn't you swing? We're all going to have those moments. Mm-hmm. But do you think being up so by so many games can hurt them towards the end? Because real quick, so as of June 3rd, the largest divisional leads at the time in history in baseball. So number one, of course, were the 2001 Mariners, mm-hmm. 16 games
ahead.
Yeah,
I remember that season.
Mm-hmm. But they lost.
They did.
They lost in the American League. Red Sox in 07, they're 11 games up, but they won the World Series. The Indians in 99, they're 10 games up, also lost in the American League divisional. So coming in, of course, that's a good thing. Mm-hmm. When you're up by so many games, you're winning all the series, you're coming up with high hopes. But do you think that kind of can slow down, though, when it gets to those months that you need to be picking up?
I'd rather have the lead now. You know, than late in the season. You know what I mean? I'd rather have the lead now. I'll tell you why. Because it's better to have it and not need it than need it and not have it. You know? So the end of the season, you can take some games off. If you lose a couple, you're like, all right, we're still 16 games off. But you can't let it slide either because that happened the other year. Remember, I think, was it 2 years ago, the Astros? We were doing so well. We were riding hot. We came to the end of the season, and it's like we just failed. Yeah. Like we had nothing left in the tank.
We got paid off.
Illuminati confirmed, Chris?
Right. Is that confirmed or is that just allegedly?
No, that's for sure.
That's for sure. According to Chris's sources, that is 100%.
Hey, not my sources. I don't, my name is not Chris.
But anyway.
But for example, let's look at a couple of these series that are going to come up. So, KC, they're not doing as hot.
No.
They're not that same team that a couple mm-hmm. years ago that won the World Series. Damn, we take a trip to Los Angeles. Mm. That's going to be an interesting series to look at because we're getting closer to. You know, the time of year, yeah, we're going to have a little all-star break, you know, but most of our guys are going to be taking, you know, they're going to be up there. They're going to be taking in the, you know, all the activities that are going on. But it's just this last slate of games and that I'm not really too worried about. Yeah, we're going to face the Yankees again before it's all said and done. We're going to cut through the Mariners as well, the Braves, and ended up with Toronto. But saying that, it's going to be interesting to see the seeding of everybody to see where everyone lines up.
Yeah.
And also, even though our hitting is doing well, man, we still, of course, have to get it done with the pitching.
Pitching wins championships. And that's when it comes down to.
I mean, we saw McCullers do his thing today. Mm-hmm. He's 6-1, I mm-hmm. believe, on the year.
Yep.
Still looking good. Keiko, of course, throwing the heat. But, man, I'm going to tell you this. Being a Houston Astros fan, we're kind of used. I'm not saying we're used to these winnings, you know, these dubs, but also we kind of know about the history about falling apart during the playoffs. So it's going to be interesting because, man, when you look at this team, it's a team you never seen before. They actually make baseball fun to watch.
That's another thing I was going to say. You know, you watch the club play and they're just having fun. And that's what you play the game for, you know? And you love watching the Astros play. Why? Because they play with intensity, but they're always having fun. They're smiling. Even when they're down, they're smiling. They, you know, they don't give up. You know, just the other game, we saw they came back 11 runs. 11 runs in an inning. I mean, you know, if that's not fortitude, I don't know what is.
Hey, that's some Fat Joe. So you went all East Coast with this, and I'm loving it. And Houston, we're going to commercial. You listen to SB Nation 1560, Sports Kings After Dark.
You're listening to Sports Kings After Dark on SB Nation 1560.
And on SBNation1560.com.
Presented by End Zone Sports Bar. Live from the SB Nation 1560 studios, here's Allie, David, Chris, and Mean Gene.
Oh, yeah, we're jamming out to the East Coast here via Mario. Super Mario, what's going on? My name is Chris Demez. Super Mario, Super Dave. Everyone's super but me. here at the SB Nation Studios in lovely Houston, Texas. I hope you guys are having a great time out there. It's kind of raining. I see a little bit of rain, a little bit of lightning out there in Houston, Texas. Hope you guys are having safe. Enjoying the show. We were talking about baseball here at SB Nation. We're going to talk about a little bit of UFC, a little bit of UF stuff. What do you got for us, Kings? Talk to me.
Man. Are we coming close to the end of the fight?
You know what? I just can't believe it. Let me tell you right now, folks.
Paint the picture for us, Mario.
I'm going to paint the picture for y'all. We're talking UFC, Jose Aldo, Max Holloway, 212. It just ended right now. Max Holloway is now your new, undisputed, 145-pound champion. And let me tell you something, folks. Jose Aldo, I have watched every single one of this man's fight. He has been, a king among kings in this division. And to
Triple
see, H? No, not Triple H. But to see this is just, this to me is the changing of the guard. You know what I mean? These new kids are just, they're younger, they're stronger, they're faster. I mean, wow. Kudos to Mr. Max Holloway for a well-deserved fight. Wow. I'm just in complete shock, man. Like, I'm just in complete shock right now.
But wait a minute, Mario. Before you get talking about some UFC, we got a little bit of plug to do. A little bit of stuff. Dave, let's talk about it. What's happening next Saturday, man?
The Texas Taco Tequila Margarita Festival. Can't believe I almost forgot tacos, man.
Can you forget tacos?
I don't know, man. So, yes, the festival coming soon next week. Preservation Park, Spring, Texas, from 11 to 9 o'clock. Over 30-plus taco vendors. And pretty much all the tacos and tequila margaritas that you need, right?
Ooh, yeah.
Because you know what? Every time we start talking about this festival, I start to get hungry.
I do.
I agree. I ate before I got here, but for some reason, y'all, like, we always start talking about food when we come in, right?
I'm not going to lie. After this, I got to go to Taco Cabana because that's the only place going to be open right now.
Oh, man. How can you do that
to yourself?
What am I supposed to do at midnight?
They got taco trucks.
Oh, where?
Come on, Chris.
On Spring Branch.
You got to try.
Spring Branch.
You got to try
Taco Nasso.
Like Taco Nasso ain't open right now.
Yeah, this Taco Nasso's open too.
I don't want to die tonight, guys.
Oh, yeah, you do.
I don't want to go to LBJ tonight.
So, the 2017 Texas Taco Tequila and Margarita Festival.
And you know what, guys? We have some stuff here for you.
Oh, yeah. So,
We're giving some tickets to said event. 713-439-1560. If you are caller number 10, uno, dos, tres, cuatro, cinco, seis, diez.
We just gonna skip through them. Yeah, you get the 10. You get
one,
the deal.
Two, skip a few 10. If you are caller number 10, you will win a pair of tickets to the Tacos Margarita. What is it?
Taco Tequila Margarita Festival.
Taco Tequila Margarita Festival.
We will be emceeing and also judging some of the events.
Some tacos. So
that's right, guys. Come on. 30 different type of taco trucks. They're going to have local distillery for all the tequila you can have, margaritas. It's supposed to be nice. Come on down. Bring the kitties to the show.
713-439-1560. Here we go. Best part.
Yeah.
That only reminds me of Sandlot.
I was going to say the same thing.
Like, that only reminds me of
that. Reminds me of the Pee Wee Herman movie, Big Adventure. Whenever he's looking for his bicycle, he went into the club and he was playing tequila and he was dancing on the bar. That's what
Pee Wee Herman style.
Yeah,
no. Pee-wee Herman style. But no, like, I definitely remember them trying the tobacco and just hurling in the, oh man, like that's a
kids
great scene.
Kids trying tobacco? That movie would never get made today.
No, never would have been made today. You're so right. Now that, I think about all the movies we used to watch, they wouldn't be allowed nowadays.
Oh, no. Think about like some of the cartoons that we used to watch. Like, think about it. You think Courage the Cowardly Dog will be played right now?
Oh, no.
That was our time. What do you mean? That was like not even, that was what, 10 years ago?
Yeah, but still, like,
would you play,
still,
they wouldn't play it now. I mean, did you see what they did to Teen Titans? I mean,
oh, come on. See,
I mean, but you guys. Well,
hold on. You're not about to hate on the Teen Titans Go, man. Huh. Have you gave it a shot?
First off, I gave it a shot. And it,
man, pull. First of all, Chris, pull. You're the worst person to ask because you're just going to hate regardless. You're going to pick
one thing. Hey, you're a time hater.
Yes, sir.
No, you are. To be honest with you, I really do prefer the other Teen Titans.
But that's fine, though. But like, what I'm saying is, like, you know what? Let's just get back to the MMA, man. Because, you know, like, we're about to go on a whole opposite tangent.
Man. Like I said, I'm just, Houston, I'm just in shock right now. Max Holloway, man.
So does this set up anything else after this with Max Holloway?
Yeah, this was the biggest fight of his career. You know, he was going in against the champ, against the man who's walked through every single person in the division other than Conor McGregor. And just looked amazing, man. 18, this is for, talking about Aldo right now, 18 consecutive wins, 7 consecutive title defenses. I mean, that's all, no more be said.
The record speaks for itself.
The record speaks for
itself. Especially when you see him fight, because it's honestly like a honey badger out in that cage. The way he's jumping around, not just jumping around, he's, you know, doing the flying knees, he's jumping off the cage. I mean, because you know what? So I haven't seen a fight. I only know the outcome. So until then, that's where I can really put my.
They're showing the little highlights right now. From what I'm thinking, Holloway was just a quicker fighter, the stronger fighter. He was getting the better stages.
You didn't see him winning though the fight before it came out though, right? Like you thought Jose Aldo.
No, I picked Jose Aldo because, you know, his last fight he looked amazing. You know, this is a man, like I said, that's only looked bad against one fighter, and that was Conor McGregor. And to be honest, Max Holloway is no Conor McGregor. So man, I'm just in complete utter disbelief right now. It happens, man. I mean, every dog has his day. I mean, this is great, though. This is great for the division. I'm just a complete shock.
Not having parity, being able to see new, you know, new faces and come up. And you know what? That's definitely what the UFC needs.
It is.
I definitely feel sometimes that we get overconsumed with the people that we do know. Mm-hmm. We're not really willing to go check out the other people that we haven't seen yet. Mm-hmm. So whenever you see a card with a name that you don't really not really familiar with, you're kind of, you know, disengaged with it. Of course, Jose Aldo was a big attention grabber.
Yeah.
But I never heard of, well, you know, I'm not really a big UFC guy, but yeah. I didn't really hear Holloway before.
Yeah.
So I think this is, you know, good for the sport because, I mean, when you think of boxing, We can go hours about who was who and who fought where and, you know, total respects to all those people. And, you know, but you say boxing's coming to a little decline a little bit. Like, it's not getting the rap that it used to. You think, you know, UFC is taking that just a little bit?
Yeah, UFC is the number one rising sport in America. You know what I mean? It's just growing so fast. It just has so many people liking it. And also because, in UFC, it's not like boxing. In UFC, you're going to fight who they tell you to fight.
Oh, okay.
There's no, I don't want to fight him because he's not this or he's that. Although, you know, the promoters don't get along. No. Dana White, he knows what he's doing. He runs his business the way he wants to run it. And if you're not going to fight, I got 10 other guys who will come at the drop of a hat to come take this position. So that's the difference between UFC and boxing. Boxing, you can pick your fights. You can duck people. You can go undefeated for 49-0, a.k.a. Mayweather. You know, and not touch a single fighter. You know, UFC, you're gonna fight the best. Period, point blank. So, I think that's why people prefer UFC over boxing because you get the fights you want to see.
Oh yeah, definitely. And it's like I said, so the names don't really grab, but whenever you see those highlights, at the end of the night, it totally changes your perspective of it. Yeah, it's a really violent sport. But this is, you know, the reason why these guys are training as hard as they do.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it kind of changes the game a little bit because, honestly, when you look at these guys who are fighting out there, laying their lives out, you know, just to fight, I mean, it's amazing. Because, I mean, you think about whenever you're playing basketball or football. Like, yeah, there's big possibility you could get injured, but there's also certain things you're expecting to get when you're on the field or when you're on the court. it's like baseball, how we have these rules that we kind of have to follow, like the bat flip thing, yep. or else, you know, yep. clear the bench and stuff. As in MMA, man, anything can happen. Not everything is just promised. Like, I believe there'll be no Illuminati confirmed in the MMA, right?
Correct.
Like, it's just a little harder, though. I mean, like, think about, like, how someone could just all of a sudden just have a glass chin from that one punch.
Yep.
I mean, sometimes it can happen like that. And I think that was a good thing that also boxing had just as well, because you never know, because it just takes that one punch.
That's all it took.
Uh-huh. SB Nation 1560 here in Houston, Texas. You guys are listening to the Sports Kings After Dark. SB Nation, I mean, I don't know. I don't know about UFC. I haven't watched enough of UFC to give it the Illuminati confirmed seal of approval. I wouldn't. I mean, I don't know. I really don't know. I haven't watched UFC. I just remember watching UFC back, like, what, 10 years ago?
Yeah, that was good stuff.
Then just being like, geez.
Are you like, before the weight classes? Or,
I don't know. I don't,
or, like, when they already had rules already?
I just remember watching television, and one of my cousins was watching this guy beat. I mean, habitually beat the heck out of one guy. I mean, I was like, this is barbaric. Like, this is truly crazy. Who's into this stuff? And I kind of, that's when I exited out, because I was like, I'm not gonna sit there and watch some guy.
You know who that. Watch? You know who watches that?
Huh?
America. That's who watches that.
I mean, like you told me earlier, it's calmed down a lot since then. I mean, the referees are much tougher, and you know, but yeah, when I saw the guy beat down the other guy, like nothing, just
it's
like a piece
scary
of meat.
To watch sometimes.
It is,
because like, you think about the well being of that person.
It's also cringeworthy. I don't want to see some guy's bone getting, like, his leg getting broke or something. That's nasty. It's,
oh, amazing. Man, the Anderson Silva.
Yeah, it's the Anderson Silva Chris Weidman fight. I remember
leg.
That. Yes,
and yeah, I mean, that's kind of why we watch.
I've
it,
broken right? a bone, and that is not fun. I don't want to watch somebody break a bone.
That's, oh no, definitely, it makes me cringe. Like, just to see people have, like, a knee injury, that's the thing that makes me, like, cringe. Like, it hurts my feelings whenever I see
it. I'd rather watch a sport where they're like, okay, guy, you're going to hit this guy, you're going to go down, take the 1, 2, 3, and everybody's happy. You know?
Everyone's happy.
Yeah.
Talk about wrestling, Chris?
Yes, I am. Talking about the WWE or Ring of Honor or whatever wrestling you like. It doesn't have to be WWE. It can be independent. It can be those other wrestling. I don't know, why would you want to watch TNA? But anyway, I mean,
wrestling.
Yeah, that's my sport of choice. If you guys want to talk to me, I'll be at the Preservation Park June 10th at the Taco Margarita Tequila Festival. I know I said that wrong, but
you just gotta throw that in there.
It's all right.
So
I'll
give you an A for effort.
I gotta throw it in there. And, you know, I'll be there. If you want to come talk to me, be like, hey, Chris, you're wrestling, you're awesome, you deserve a wrestling show at SB Nation. But you know that if you want to come to me, be like, hey, you're fat and you need to start watching UFC. I'm like, I'm not really down for that right now. So we can discuss it.
You think someone's really going to come at you like that? Like,
it's been happened before, but you can come at me. You can talk to me, but I'll be a huckleberry.
I'll be your huckleberry.
I can be your huckleberry. But no, yeah, I mean, UFC, I don't know. Like I said, I haven't seen enough.
I think
UFC.
It's winning over people slowly but surely, because I definitely feel that it has a big fan base now.
Definitely,
you can't
definitely.
Say that they have no following whatsoever, because,
no.
man, it's a
big,
amazing sport.
It is a cash cow.
Yeah. So, but I think it's just the next evolution of what fighting is.
It is like the new, I don't want to say
it's like,
boxing.
It's like Street Fighter, but real.
It's like, you know what it is? It's a modern day gladiators.
Oh yeah,
that's what it is.
American
gladiators.
No, we're not talking about American gladiators.
I remember that show.
That show was awesome.
Nitro Blaze.
Blazer.
Yeah.
Blazer.
I used to. Blazer.
Oh, dodgeball,
bro. Nah, it's just
live from Universal Studios. I'm sorry.
It's just, man, the UFC. It's the ultimate chess match, man. You know what I mean? There's no.
Oh yeah, beat up chess match.
Yeah, because you know you have to think about. You know, in boxing, you only worry about your opponent's hands.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? When it comes to UFC, you have to worry about their hands, feet, submissions. You know what I mean? You want to talk about test the human body, test the human mind. What better sport is there? You know, there's nothing.
Golf.
Oh, my God.
No. Go with me. Golf is, you have to have complete control, complete concentration. Everyone's got to be quiet. Everyone's got to
Calmate.
Everyone's got to be quiet, because quiet. Because if you miss,
I want to hear the grass grow.
But no, yeah. Okay, physically wise, UFC is dominant, but mental wise, I'm gonna say that's golf. 713 239-1560. If you want to call me and fight about it, you're more than welcome.
You know what?
Come at me, bro.
So whenever you said American Gladiator, you made me like Google it right quick. And yo, looking at American Gladiator, wasn't that just an amazing series? Like, first off, Larry Zonka was like an amazing host. Like, there's not too many hosts out there that could just not only, like, when I see him, he can, like, also get out there.
Little known fact, he was also in WWE. I'm just saying that right now.
Larry Zonka was a wrestler?
Well, no, he was an announcer.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, man. See? Larry pulling double time back in the early 90s, right?
Yeah, basically. But go ahead. I'm sorry, Mario. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, it's just so funny because I love American Gladiator. Like, I'm just thinking about it right now, and I'm just like, man.
And we're talking about the 90s one. I don't like
yeah,
that.
No, we're talking about the 90s.
I don't want that Hulk Hogan.
You remember, like, the little obstacle course that there'll be a gladiator with the little tennis ball launcher?
Yeah, that's what I was just about to say. I was just like, I always wanted that gun. Like, I always wanted that little tennis ball shooter.
It looked like he should have been shooting way more hard.
I just remember when that old man used to go on TV, ready! I'm like, it's about to go down. Ready!
I felt like some of those games were definitely, like, way too much. Like, you remember that game that you had to be, like, in the sphere, and you had to, like, place yourself on a little platform?
Oh, yeah!
Like, that was wild!
It's funny because the adults had American Gladiators and us kids on Nickelodeon had Guts.
Guts really, like, influenced me to be an athlete when I was younger, right?
I don't know about all
like,
that.
I wanted to have one of the medals. I wanted to be on the aggro crag, hitting the thing with the smoke.
Double Dare wanted me. You know, we're getting off topic here, guys. We're not talking about shows of the 90s.
That's good stuff, though.
But hey, if you want to listen to
have a 90s segment. We get to just talk all
nostalgia.
90s. Yeah, nostalgia segment.
But back to UFC, Mr. Mario.
Yes, sir.
Go ahead.
No, it's just, I'm just so happy. I'm happy for Mr. Max Holloway. I'm glad he won this. He needed this fight coming from where he's from. This is a stacked division at 145 pounds. You know, we're talking about, you know, this is becoming the mainstay of the UFC division, which is crazy because before the UFC bought out the WAC, they never had these weight limits. You know what I mean? These are the lighter weight classes, and they knew for a fact that these weight classes were going to jump off the chart. And they did it. They went in all in. They bought it out, and this is where it is now, you know? I just can't believe it. I'm shocked. But it's all right. We're going to come back. We're going to talk about it. I'm going to get over this. And we're going to finish this segment talking about a little bit of boxing, talking about Houston Texans and the cuts they have and where they're going to be.
We got one more segment, though.
Yeah. So it's
wrapping up. But there's one thing I wanted to get with you, though. I wanted to talk Wu-Tang.
Oh, we will talk Wu-Tang. We will talk Wu-Tang after this. Come on back. SB Nation Radio, 1560 AM, Sports Kings After Dark. You know where to find us.
Listening to Sports Kings After Dark on SB Nation 1560.
And on SBNation1560.com.
Presented by State Farm Insurance Houston. Live from the SB Nation 1560 studios, here's Ali, David, Chris, and Mean Gene.
Oh, yeah. SB Nation Radio is 1560 AM. You're joining the Sports Kings After Dark here on SB Nation Radio. My name is Chris DeMiz. We have Super Mario and Super Dave here in the studios. We were talking about UFC, baseball, and a whole lot more. Hope you guys are having a great time. Once again, 713-439-1560. If you guys want some tickets to the Tacos, Margarita, and Tequila Festival.
Please heard the whole song, Chris.
June 10th, next weekend. So once again, 713-439-1560. Give me a call. I'm lonely.
This is like a really feel-good song, right? Like, this changes your mood if you put this, because this is the beginning of it. Like, it's the national feel-good anthem, right?
It's a feel-good song that says it's so hard.
It's so hard.
It's so hard out here, man.
It is so hard.
It's probably one of my favorite Big Pun songs is up there. is ringing up there.
Last hour, guys. This is our last hour, our last actually about 10 minutes here at SB Nation Sports Kings After Dark, our Saturday show. Gene could not make it this weekend. He's up in Dallas fighting those storms. If you guys are tuning in to us up in Dallas and wherever you are, thank you for joining us. Dallas, stay safe, stay dry. You know,
and stay classy, San Diego.
Stay classy.
That's where you were going.
I know. I love it.
But here in Houston, I mean, we're having a little bit of lightning somewhere.
Are we, man? Because you remember last week how like we checked out. And I was the only one that didn't park underneath the carport.
I told you, man.
And I feel like I had a battle of the storms, man. And I missed the exit. I had to go down I-10 the wrong way.
Nice.
And then I thought, I have to go underneath the freeway with a U-turn. I'm drowning today. That was the first thing that went to my head.
Wait a minute. You take I-10 home?
No, but like I said, it was raining so hard that like, I just kind of went with the flow is what I could see at the time.
Well, that's your first mistake right there.
Well, you know, when it was raining out hard, because I saw that y'all had to come back to the station.
We did.
Man, like,
we left our fellow lamp mascot here. You can follow us on Instagram, or you can, we'll have an Instagram soon, but
yeah,
Twitter.
We don't have Instagram. So, you know what? We'll get that done soon.
Twitter and Facebook.
I think people will be definitely, they'll know the shenanigans that happens before show. Because I think,
shenanigans.
Because I think that's like the meat and potatoes for us right there, too. Because like,
definitely.
Like, we're trying to get it done, but then like it's not getting done. but it's getting done.
At the same time, though.
So real quick, y'all, I like the fact that, you know, we get to get the football schedules early. We get to mark down the calendars, especially for the college teams. Real quick, U of H is going to have, you know, to me, I believe we're going to have another good season. Another quarterback backing up from last year. Yep. Transfer coming in. And when I look at the schedule, I see a couple things. First game, UTSA Roadrunners. Coach Frank Wilson up there, old LSU running backs coach. Mm-hmm. Top recruiter, actually. The reason why Odell Beckham and Fournette went to LSU, now head coaching over there for the Roadrunners. And they're a good team. They're able to get a lot of those guys from Texas that don't get to go anywhere to those big programs but still get left out. Then right after week after that, got to go to Tucson to face Arizona.
Ooh,
another team that
loves going to be a good game.
That loves running the spread, mm-hmm. You know, spreading everything
that
out.
West Coast offense, yeah.
And get this. So they're going to play Rice, but after that, they're going to play Texas Tech here in Houston, the TDECU Stadium.
Ooh.
So that's going to be a fun one, man. So a couple good non-conference games.
That day.
A couple good non-conference games. They got to go up to Temple in Philadelphia to play them. Anything else in the schedule? They got to go. Oh, they got to go to USF, University of South Florida.
Oh, wow. That's going to be good.
So that's going to be a pretty tough one for them, man. So I'm going to throw this out there. But I think U of H is safe to say that they're pretty much going to be solely on top of their conference every year.
You think so?
I want to just say that just because of the direction it's going to. Because honestly, whenever you pump money into athletics, I'm not saying all the good things that are happening, because of course a lot of bull can happen.
Mm-hmm.
We all know that. We all know that, you know, things can fall apart as quickly as they're built. But as of right now, when we see the athletics going to the way it's going, and I see this for a couple other schools. I'm not mean to brag on my school as well. When you look at Texas Southern, and we have 21 guys, that got recruited this past spring. That committed, and mm-hmm. all from Texas and big powerhouses like Cibolo Steel, North Shore. When you get those guys that know how to win, that makes me feel good.
Yeah.
No matter what program you're coming from. So the fact that you can go to from a high school program, get picked up from whatever D1 college you go to, usually that's going to translate well. So I'm expecting the Cougars to have a big season. I'm expecting the Tigers of Texas Southern to have a big season. Even though the HBU, every year they are making growth in spurts as well, too. We're going to go down 290 to Texas A&M.
Mm-hmm.
We got to look at Kevin Sumlin to see if he's going to be able to change the atmosphere over there. They've been going through, their little hiccups as well. Not having the hot start that he had whenever he first left Houston and went to A&M. I mean, no more Johnny Manziel, of course.
No.
But he hasn't been able to really fulfill that spot. Of course, he gets some of the top recruits as well from Louisiana and Texas. But it hasn't been able to translate for this couple years. But the one team I can't wait to see this year is Tom Herman's UT Longhorns.
I'm excited about that.
And you know what?
I'm actually excited
seeing
about
them.
That.
And real quick, guys, I don't mean to just plug them in like this, but Yo, if you don't follow the Texas Longhorns football team on social media, as in Twitter, you're missing out. There's so many jewels that they drop. I mean, they're definitely one with a team that stays connected with the locals, so that's always good. But real quick, Mario, I knew I wanted to do this right before we end the show quickly. What's your favorite Wu-Tang member?
Oh, that's hard, dude. That's hard. Wu-Tang to
and
me.
Yeah, and it's not an easy question.
It's not.
Because you can go down the list and
you
just say
I mean?
You like so-and-so and like, you know, these verses and stuff. But real quick, give me a person and
maybe
a song you like.
For me, M-E-T-H-O-D.
Oh, man. I was just, yeah, of course.
M-E-T-H-O-D, man.
He honestly introduced me a lot. You know, like, Method Man taught me how to be a man a little bit, right? Like, he dropped so much knowledge, and I'm going to go ahead and throw this out.
I say one of the most underrated rappers out there.
Oh,
I think
man.
He's very underrated.
Especially his work, mm-hmm. what he's done so far. And not so far, but, I mean, early in his career to now, he switched into movies. Mm-hmm. I mean, he was doing a lot of things what rappers are doing now.
Yep.
I mean, but he made it big time. But I give him props because me and one of my friends, we went to go see How High whenever it first came out in movie theaters. Mm-hmm. And it was definitely an interesting movie to see when you're in fifth grade, right? Like, I had no idea what was going on, but I just knew that it was the most amazing thing I'd ever seen in my life. So I definitely Method Man's one of them. And also, man, Ghostface Killah,
oh, yeah.
Right?
Ghost, like, another underrated rapper that people don't talk about.
Him, the way he's able to work with so many different people, he has like that voice. Like, I know a lot of people like Action Bronson, and they can mm-hmm. say that, you know, they kind of somewhat sound similar. Mm-hmm. But, man, like, there's something about a Ghostface Killah verse just as much as a GZA verse.
Yeah.
Because you already know it's going to be well articulated mm-hmm. and mathematically possible.
The GZA.
But, man, we can sit here and talk about Wu-Tang all day. And also, like, ODB. I feel like ODB doesn't get the respect that he needs just because he wasn't just a lyrical genius
right.
as everybody else.
Because I guess ODB was seen more like a hype man. You know
oh,
what
yeah.
I mean? Was more seen like the Flavor Flav of the group.
Flavor,
you know what I mean?
Flavor Flav.
But ODB has some jewels, man. ODB dropped some lyrics on you that make you think that you'd be like, what? What did he just say?
And I know Raekwon the Chef, he still does... He still does work now.
Yeah,
the
man.
Fact that so many of these rappers, especially from an era where lyrics were everything. Like, it was the way of life. The reason why I believe that Wu-Tang was so popular is because they got to put all of this that we loved in hip-hop. For
mm-hmm.
example, like whenever RZA made all these beats and all these beautiful samples.
Yep.
Like, we acknowledge that.
Yep.
We love it like when we're hearing like a random Kung Fu movie from the 70s.
That's what got me to Wu-Tang was... I, you know, me and my dad were diehard Kung Fu fans. We had almost every single Jackie Chan movie you can think of. No, I'm not
Drunken Master?
Right. Yeah, all of them, dude. Drunken Master, Laughing Hyena 1 and 2, Snake and Eagle's Crane. I mean, everything. We had them all. And the thing that always got to me for that was the openings. When it was those openings from those 70s Kung Fu movies.
Yo,
Shaolin
like,
Fist cannot beat my Wu-Tang style.
Yo, and... It definitely changed the aspect of 90s rap to me a
yeah.
little bit because the samples became more popular and I really started listening. It made me listen to different even.
Well, guys, it's about that time again. I want to thank you guys so much for joining us here at SB Nation Radio 1560. Thank you so much for the call-ins. Thank you so much, Lori, for calling in. Thank you so much for listening in. And you can catch our stuff on TuneIn, the app. TuneIn app.